no worries.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for catching that. Okay, sorry. So I just started the recording. Welcome to the Configuration of Prisons and Service team meeting for Friday, May 29th. So today we'll be talking about the adjoint OFSLAM PCI discussion, our answers, and pre-review meetings that the team held with various people from the TSC, going over the M0 JIRA REQ and CIRN's proposal for a POC in R7 and then a R8 project proposal in Honolulu. Okay, so I was just going over quickly the TSC presentation we made, the overview of our so the presentation is broken into three sections, right? The overview, the questions and answers, and then also we're just going over the questions. So one kind of new question I think that sort of came up, but is sort of in this as well, is do we really need to spin off as a new project? I mean, that's kind of in two separate questions, I guess. It's already sort of, these two are kind of related, but she's essentially asking the same question again. So yeah, maybe this is more appropriate. Why spin off from CCSUK? I mean, essentially why spin off a new project?
And I guess there's two parts to that. I mean, one is there a technical reason to it, and the other one is a project governance thing. And I'd like, if we can, to deal with the technical side of things and let the TSC themselves figure out the project governance aspect of it. Because, you know, that's certainly not my bailiwick, not my area of expertise.
Right. Okay. So I guess we do have a good answer to that. Then we went over the third section, which only had 5 minutes to go over, but basically went over, you know, the projects. And I won't belabor that. So, you know, we have an overview of the projects and how they might be using the CMPS. So I do have a good description here. I feel for OFSLAM PCI, we have a view of how, you know, the sort of the data that they might be storing and using in CMPS. For end and network slicing, of course, they're driven by 3GPP TS-28541. John Keeney said, you know, this is still in development, so eventually they'll have a better idea of what is here. And I've reached out to some of the folks in Bell Canada for some more information here. Okay, any questions on that before we move on? Okay, good. And I see a couple new people joined. Okay, next, so if you've been attending the TSC, one of the important things that they're going over right now is the JIRA dashboard. And I don't know if you've seen the JIRA dashboard. Let me show it to you if you haven't. So basically they're tracking the release now through this new JIRA dashboard. And yesterday when I spoke with Zoo and Oscar, they were having problems having these JIRA tickets refresh, but you see that, you know, if you have a use case, you know, the data needs to be filled in there, and they're asking people who haven't filled in things properly to do so. So
and just update you, the problem is fixed. I sent an email to David. He extends the permissions.
Oh, okay, permissions. Yeah. Okay, that was the problem. Okay, great. So we discussed who might own the REQ JIRA ticket, and basically it's just it just means that you should be attending the TSC, and if there's problems with the overall project tracking, that you know this is the person they tap. Now in here there are also owners. There are multiple owners, if I recall. There's multiple people you can list that are involved. But you can only have one assignee essentially. So yesterday also when I met with on the 5G call with Zoo and with Joanne, it became clear that the project impact and the supported status, they want it per project. So Joanne said this is the kind of information they want. And I said I would talk about it on our team call, and here we are. So what we need to do is make sure this is filled out properly. And I just wanted to do that as a team here. So right now, this is what we have for kind of extending the R6 stuff, and maybe we should list some of the POC activities, like the data-driven POC. So we're trying to basically list the project component impacts. And there's three reasons why we do this. One, we need to let the PTLs know, what's happening. Number two, the TSDA uses this information to assess what the resources that are needed within the feature the feature release, basically. So they can figure out a composition of what's there. And also, and number three, I think it also just gives a high level view for somebody who wants to see what's going on with the project, some of the major impacts, if they're either new or they often look to this high level REQ to assess things. So I think it's important to try to get this right. Okay, so for SDC, we said we're test only. SDC provides this user file posted to DMAP, and are we doing any other SDC design time impacting stuff? Anybody? Like for the POC or potentially we can just list the POC separately, because by definition, the POC should be completely separate from the release anyway. So maybe that's not so big of an issue. But I guess for the
R6. Yeah, I've created an epic for the POC.
Okay, great.
Like others, I've had difficulty getting it show up on the dashboard, so
yeah.
Maybe I'll try and get back to you on exactly how you managed it another time.
Yeah.
Is there an item to initialize the database using the SDC, or how would that be handled?
Yeah, that's a good point, Fred. So I think this would be, let's see.
That would be a CFPS impact.
Yeah, that would be
using existing interfaces against ANAI, but yes, it is something that would have to happen. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Let me see. So I think this is the initialization point here. So
So how's the Jung models will be to the schema? So is that visible to the SDC already now?
Part of it. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say there has to be a concept of schema as well.
Yes.
That would reflect the network, and as well as the initial value. So it would be both.
Right.
So some artifact in the SDC is visible.
So the way I see it, when a vendor package is provided, it will have some model that represents an aspect or aspects of the XNF, and then SDC would have an opportunity to either add more or expose those for consumption by the CNPS. And then the CNPS would take those out of the CSAR ones published on BMAP, to understand what models were available. And that's one aspect of the model-driven part of it. The second aspect then is to relate that model or information or configuration data that's compliant with that model to an instance of an XNF. And for that, we need the inventory sync and inventory update from the ANAI. As to exactly how that will happen internally, I don't think anybody has an answer yet, because we've not started the design at that level of this component. I hope that answers your question. That's probably the main way in which we will add models to the CPS is via the SDC DMAP route.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's invisible for the SDC if this young artifact is already supported there, mm-hmm. right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the intention is that it's model-driven. So as long as the configuration and persistency service is able to understand what that model is in the CSAR, it should be able to load it up. So when it sees a new CSAR, it should look, are there any compatible models in here that I need to be interested in? And then load them up and deploy them and make them available so that data can be stored in compliance with those schemas, those models.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Okay, so ANAI is test only. Basically, we're using ANAI to set up our initial database upon initialization, the get all, and adding the ID to be able to subscribe to updates. DCAE, so these are the changes basically to support the standards defined, and the new VES event, the new UGPP configuration, namespace, domain, and then basically to receive that, config notify and so forth.
Considering DCA impacts, uh-huh. I know there is this new VES events, VES domains for CM, FM, and PM. Mm. So I know this is not the PM issue, but maybe there are people here in the call who would answer this, because I was looking up the PM encodings and I couldn't find JSON encodings for the VES events for the PM from the 3GPP documents. So is it so that anybody knows that PM are still delivered in the same way as before with the VES file ready event and then collecting that with the collector and then with the PM mapper possibly would be converted to VES or DMAP format. So that means that PM mapper need to be changed because of this also to make it align with the new format introduced in this harmonization.
So two things. Are you referring to reusing the VES mechanism not just for performance and alerts but also for configuration updates? I hope you are, because I arrived at that same conclusion and using Prometheus or other elements and agents on the VNF or the CNF as a sidecar to get the data in the right format. Is that what's being discussed now, or is
not,
that...
not really. I mean, there are JSON encodings clearly for the CM and FM, for example, but PM right. is missing. So for the PM, we have a working functionality from the earlier releases. Mm-hmm. According to notification, collect them, and there is a PM mapper in DONAP which is able to convert to 3GPP.
So my understanding is that this use case, this 3ONAP, 3GPP, ORAN alignment standards defined notification of VES, is supposed to have introduced three new namespace pieces.
So, 3GPP, so PM is also, right?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to introduce PM. I can put you in contact with Marge, and Vimal is leading this as well.
So yes, yes.
Maybe that's a question to those two people.
Exactly.
Who should
so
be able
they,
to
they March, yeah. March and guys introduced that.
Yeah.
That wasn't so obvious that because I couldn't find from the specifications new and JSON encodings for the PM.
I see. So, okay.
So as a notification, I mean.
Okay. Let me take that offline, and let me contact you by email.
Okay.
And could you include me in that distribution?
Sure,
But why are we talking about PM in this context to begin with?
Yes. Sorry. So I know that this is not a PM topic.
I think it's the right discussion. I think it's the right discussion because they're really very related problems of how to get the information. We shouldn't stop at CM. We have to include the other ones because it's the same problem.
Yes. Right.
Cool. Exactly. All right. Great.
Okay. So for SDNR, SDNC, the SDNR gets this the standards defined. Standards define CM VES notification notification from DMAP, and then basically gets the configuration Yang model from the network device, and then updates the CNP's database with this data. So, you know, there's a flow here. So basically, the information comes in across the DMAP, it gets published, it gets consumed, and then the database is updated. So leveraging MariaDB and maybe this, I mean, I don't know if we're necessarily using this, but leveraging some database technology to do that, build the model, real-time representation. We just talked about the initialization, receive configuration updates, which is all of this, these two pieces, right? And then updating the database, and then supporting vendor-specific configuration information models. okay, so, okay, any comments on this? I think we have, let's see, we wanted to, so there were other, see, there are other pieces of information they wanted too. So I think one, they wanted the companies engaged, and the, I mean, they also wanted people, people headcount.
Sorry, why we have SDNR? I mean, is involved in the use case?
So SDNR is involved right now because this is the R6 extension, where basically because we're part of CCSDK, they're the DMAP listener for us right now. When we're an actual separate independent project, we don't need SDNR because we'll be able to listen off DMAP independently. Does that make sense? So right now, the reason...
Is the requirement is for release 6 or 7?
It's for release 7.
Okay.
But there's so, two... But there's, wait, so the, hold on. So there's two tracks, right? If there's... let me point you to the... So you recall there's the R6 extension track, and then there's the we're a new project track, right? And this might be just a POC in R7, right? So to this relates to the extending the stuff in R6, right? And that's what Tony just created the new JIRA for the POC track, right? So this is needed for the supporting what we have in R6 so that it still is useful to other use cases. Does that make sense? So eventually this will go away, and the sooner this goes away, the better. Because, you know, we...
No, I mean, SDNR now is not a project. Here, I think you should define what is the project that is using.
Yeah.
Or so, you are going to provide code.
So... Basically, CCSDK, because we're in CCSDK and SDNC, there are DMAP listener that we need to use right now. Does that make sense? So therefore, we use it to be able to get this event off of DMAP, and to basically pass it on to the database update. Eventually, this will go away because when CMPS is its own standalone project, it will have a DMAP listener also as part of its code and be able to pull this directly, and then we can just delete this. We don't need this, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. I think we need to move on. So Ciaran, did you want to kind of go over the topic of the POC in R7? And maybe we need to update this roadmap, you know, with this plan.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah, Shankar.
I have a question. I think what, if you're talking about the release 6 extension POC for SON, then...
So Ciaran is talking about something completely different. Basically, Ericsson is doing this model-driven CMPS, which implements some of the key sort of components of CMPS. And Ciaran basically suggested, let's do this piece as a POC, not do the whole project proposal thing until R8. So I wanted to talk that through as a team, and then maybe we should update this roadmap thing. So Ciaran, did you want to? Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I guess.
Ben, I'm fine going later, but I just wanted to make sure.
Are you going next?
Want to focus on is to make sure what the release 6 extension. I don't want to run out of time because we have a strong dependency from Song to this, and
we
need to make sure we are on board. Otherwise, it'll affect whatever we say in Archcom next week.
Yes, right.
So we can time box my session here to maximum 5 minutes. If everybody is in agreement and one way or the other, then it should be a fairly quick conversation. Otherwise, we can agree to take it maybe at a separate session or next week or something. I think Tony brought up the topic earlier of separating the technical need that we see for this project from the project management aspects, the sort of the non-technical project management things that we need to do within the TSC. And so what I proposed that we did in, I kind of send a mail to Joanne and Ben and Tony to suggest that maybe, since there are quite a broad swathe of opinions in what this component could be, what it should be, and then some uncertainty over resourcing, perhaps it would make more sense that we defer the project decision until next release, effectively push it out until Hitch. The reason for that is because I think this is quite a complex component, and if it goes up in lights as a project, then it becomes there'd be quite a lot of visibility on it and quite a lot of overhead in terms of the project maintenance and management, which we don't currently have to do. We can focus on purely solving some of the technical aspects and getting into the details of the specifics, crystallizing the specific view of what we mean by a model-driven configuration persistency service. And then when we very early on and in parallel to that activity in the Hitch release, we can start to socialize that idea of this as a new project, assuming that we're successful in the execution of the POC activities. That was, the fundamentals behind the proposal, that we don't push to get a new project kicking off in the Hitch release, which I think will add a lot of extra noise and overhead. And there's a lack of full clarity from all angles on what this will achieve, that we try and do that early in the Hitch release in parallel to executing on a couple of POCs.
Right. So that makes sense. That makes sense to me. So essentially what we're saying is that we won't be a separate project in R7, but rather we would have the actual project proposal landing in R8. So we would, we also talked, Sierra and I also talked, and we said, because we've already presented it on April 9 to the TSC, we should, basically, we should make this presentation, basically, but tell them that our plan, our way forward, I think, is to do the proof of concept and then come back come in as a new project in R8. And then that lays the groundwork for some of the really fundamental basic things that we would want to do with the CMPS. I think we would also establish a lot of the some of the key components, the groundwork, the foundations for CMPS, I think, through the POC. And then of course, as Shankar points out, you know, we still need to cater to these use cases that intend to be using the CMPS, so we need to make sure that there's something there that we can use, so we'd extend the R6 stuff.
Okay. And ideally, as and when we have good stuff from the POC, we should feed it immediately. Anything that's stable from the POC, we should immediately feed it back into that in order to make it easier for use cases and application components to migrate to the standalone CPS rather than the hosted CPS.
Sure, right. So is there anybody opposed to this plan of how to move forward? Going once and twice. All right, sold. So we are, just to reiterate, we will not be asking to be a standalone separate project in R7. Rather, we will present our answers to the TSC just so they have it in mind again and on their recording. But we will present this roadmap that we're doing the model-driven POC in R7 as one of the tracks. And the other track, of course, is just extending what we did in R6 so that other things depending on us can keep going. And then we'll say that we are going to be a new project in R8 in the Honolulu race. Okay. Oops. Okay. All right. Shankar, so we do want to touch base with the various teams, that are using the CNPS database. So so Shankar is here today. Did you want to share or?
Yes, please. Yeah, I have. Yeah,
I'll stop sharing. Good.
So what? Thanks. And I've been, and so Ben and others, I've been trying to keep track of every, but I have not been attending all the meetings. But what I thought I would do is just focus crisply on we view this from the OFSON project. And I think some of it will be things you've heard before, but just to make sure we're all on the same page. So Swami is also on this call. Both are co-leading this OFSON project, and we have to present to ArchCom next week about what's the plan for release 7. And now here what I want to just mainly focus on is, and we do officially say we have a very strong dependency on, well, we'll change the names, it was ConfigDB, Runtime ConfigDB, CNPS. And in a nutshell, I try to put here, which is in release 5 or release 6, we had the need for some database that holds config, and we kept it very simple and limited, and we knew this was a big project to be done. So we created something, and essentially we watched this grow and said, yes, CNPS is the right way to do this database, and whatever it is, we'll be the first early adopter and making sure we have a working instance and very focused on let's make sure we have something working. And so we have a very strong dependency, and I'm really glad this group as a whole, and I'm part of it, that we're acknowledging that whatever we do in CNPS, we'll have something working, and let's start that way. And frankly, if CNPS group as a whole says we can't do this, then we have to go back to find ways to just extend what we did, and we don't want to do that in a way that is not going forward. So very limited, I'm assuming that there is consensus that we'll have something that meets the need of OFSON. And if we can just build on what we have, it really boils down to these things. And then I'll talk about it. There is a current Yang model, and we were waiting to just switch to a new Yang model, which is aligned with ORAN and 3GPP. But what we have is a very limited set, and I'll talk about it. And then there is a database with an API, and it is used by 3 modules. And so if you're doing some quick POC solution, it would be good if you limit impact on all the other modules, or at least identify what that is so that we can tell all the other modules, hey, you know, the API is changing, this is what you need to do. And I have some slides on this. And I think you almost answered this. I needed clarification as soon as possible what is required from SDNR. It might be we'll just reuse what we have. So I'll dig into the details a little bit. I won't go through all of this, but the SON use case uses a simulated radio access network, which can consume netconf, ingest netconf configuration commands, and it can output whatever is needed, which is WES messages for FM, PM, and it was all ready to do CM, notify WES messages, but we, in release 6, we stopped because we didn't have a standard CM notify, but we still need CM notification. And so we are in release 6, it is just sort of this dotted line. It's generating a pre-standard CM notify WES message and putting this on DMAP. we have STNR. This RC run DB, runtime config DB, we can change the name, it'll be CNPS. And we have policy, we have a microservice, we have ONAP optimization framework, OOF. And so the flow basically is, there is a RAN, it's simulated, it has a model, it generates data. Data comes in, the DCAE microservices and the ONAP optimizations optimize everything because it's a SON use case. The messages go to policy and policy forwards to STNR. And then STNR does, the southbound is all netconf. It's a pure netconf edit config. So our sort of release, we did this workaround, right? And so the target in some sense was really that all the CM notification actually comes into this REST collector, it puts it on DMAP. And what we articulated that we would do in release 7 is that this release, this message, the CM notify message is marked A. So 3A comes in, a REST collector gets it, dumps it on DMAP, that's 4A. STNR reads the 4A and STNR updates this runtime config DB in step 4B. And I think we are saying this is how it will proceed for a release 6 extension. I can change the slides, but I was, I'm just toggling back and forth. Instead of
well, what's doing the relevance of the colors, the orange and the light blue and the gray and white?
It used to be, the reds are DMAP messages, which is part of the SON control loop. If I go back to this, So the red is messages which are functional to the use case, and these purples are essentially the CM notifies. I was trying to separate, at that point, what was part of the use case and what will become a CNPS thing. And it'll become more clear. I zoomed into this also. So, but till now, this 4A STNR is doing this
update. So the reds are DMAP messages, and the purples are use case messages?
Well, these purples are DMAP. The first two purples are VES. Maybe I should change this. So the 3A and 3D are VES messages, and this 4D is the same content, but it is on DMAP. So if they are anything coming in and out of this DMAP on top are DMAP messages. And anything which are black lines are direct APIs.
Okay.
Does that help? Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
And so this, I was trying to just illustrate toggling. I think we were planning to do this, and this might be the release 6 extension POC that STNR does the update, and then we'll switch to, at some point, that CNPS will do its own update. And I sort of zoomed into these parts to highlight the whole model aspects of this. And some of you might have seen it. So again, the RAN is this box on the right. It has an NetConf interface. It has REST outputs. It has a Yang model. It interacts with STNR. REST comes into a REST collector. And there is DMAP on top. But now from a CNPS perspective, these stars are on the right, these red stars on the right is the Yang model known to the network, just a pure NetConf Yang model. For example, when STNR sends and config a message in step 11 here, it uses the Yang model because only the Yang model is known to the network, in this case, the simulator RAN. And a VEST message comes out, it has to be aligned to the Yang model. So 3A is marked red. So everything on the right is red, a red star, which is, it's a pure Yang model as known to the RAN. And for example, in release 6, we used an older model where the physical cell ID PCI was, you know, it was under LTE RAN RFG, it was 5 cell ID. This was a published Yang model. The new Yang model aligned with 3GPP and ORAN is going to be NR cell DU, NR PCI. So this is the world of Yang, all red stars. And all these green stars is the world of ONAP, which whatever we want, we can make it perfectly aligned, almost aligned. That's the discussion going forward. What we did was at that point, we just said, hey, we have a cell, we have a PCI value. It was just called cell.pci value. I mean, we didn't think more about it. And there is a mapping, and these purple arrows back and forth are the mapping. So now to explain this again, a WES message comes in, we are dumping it on DMAP directly, and that is aligned with the RAN network. And if it comes into STNR, then STNR essentially does this mapping, this going from the red stars to the green stars. It does whatever model conversion it does and does this update. So STNR was doing the creates and updates to the database, and these other guys, microservice and OF, are just reading from the database. So if now we zoom in as to, here's a database, it has a CRUD API, who's doing the creates and updates, who is doing the reads, and in the world of the database, it's the schema and the model of the database. It has to be known to all of ONAP. And what I would suggest you're trying to, if you want to minimize changes, there is currently an API which is being used by the microservice, by OOF, and by STNR. And there is a Yang model. And so if I'm going back here, what we needed to do is, we do want to change the Yang model, and then the database will API will change based on whatever makes sense. So let me just review what was there till now. Okay, this config.db, currently it was implemented on MariaDB. There is a working API. It has a simple get patch, and it's working. And it is all, like I said, the reads are done by two components. And it's working and it's published and all that's part of release 6. And the create and the updates is done by STNR. The model is itself is very simple. It just has these two tables. Yeah, yes, please.
So the API, I was asking by the release 6, can you just, I know that we have only minor change. Can we define the Sandeep did in R6 only which API they are doing, like a patch, or can we say which one?
He's doing a patch.
Patch
change. No, he did. He has a Jira for completing the whatever patchwork was not finished in what is it now? Dublin. He did. It was work done for Dublin, and then there was updates for El Alto and Frankfurt. So, okay. As far as I know, the patch is working.
Okay.
But it was kept simple by design. MariaDB with a few tables, and the work was on just making sure all the connectivity and plumbing actually works. And so if I come to the model part, the model was, this was the old Yang model. It has 3G UMTS stuff, it has LTE. We were just using the LTE part of the Yang model to just pick out, if you see the middle of the screen, there is a PCI, tri-cell ID. We needed the notions of very basic things, and I think I've written it here. So for release 7, the POC, I would suggest just pick a subtree of the Yang model from 3GPP and ORAN, and we really need these things, which is just a basic way to identify the GNB and the cell, GNG, GNB, DUID, NCI, whatever is needed, whatever makes sense. We need the NRPCI for PCI function, and we need the neighbor relations. I don't think we need anything more than that. And to really make that point, I think, so if you look at 3GPP 28541, I'm assuming anything that comes from ORAN and ONAP will all be aligned to this. So there is a model, and we just have to, we have had this discussion before. So if I look, for example, if I had this open here, are you seeing? You're probably not seeing. I have to share my screen, right? Okay. So in this 3GPP document, I just search for NRPCI. I get that, and then was trying to put this in, and but somewhere deep inside there would be. Oh, my computer is slow. Come on, it's going to hang now. Okay. Okay, I took to section four. So, but I think people who are familiar with the models and it would be, I was just trying to show an example. I had it before, I just, okay. Okay, sorry, it's here. Anyway, I don't want to waste time here, but if you look in this document, it'll tell you there are examples of the Yang model, and there is a lot more discussion that has happened.
So I have a quick question here for the NRPCA parameter. It's using the NRCLDU and an external NRCLDU as a object. I assume you're not using, I mean, you're just introducing the values, not the object structure, right? Or is there a model impact that you're looking to? So there's an association with the 5G service modeling use case that I'm working on.
Right. So let me put it this way. From the SON perspective, if I go back to something like this, we have code that says there is a cell and it has some ID and it has a PCI. And we just want to read the database to say, okay, get me the list of the genode Bs and the cells and their PCIs and neighbor relations. And what's happening inside, we don't care. We don't care if it's modeled with the CU, the DU, the external, whichever way makes sense.
You just care about the parameters.
There won't be impact.
Yeah.
We just want specifically the parameters because the microservice is just handling the information. By the time it gets to the optimization framework, it's just a matrix of cells and PCI values. So it couldn't care less about the details of the Yang model. But when that message goes to STNR saying, here's a cell and I need to change the PCI, then STNR needs to send a message which is fully compatible with the Yang model. It needs to understand the full tree. And currently it is coded like that. But it is just coded with this tree. But in principle, it can work with any other tree or subtree. So there was work done to make sure that the software works with a Yang model or a submodel, only the parts that we care about. So, but I'm thinking when we modify this to include the 3GPP model, you can't just take two parameters. You might as well take the whole subtree that holds makes sense as a whole. And instead of two parameters, if we have 40, I don't think that'll be, even if it's 200, it's not going to make a big difference, except we will only care about certain things. That's the way I'm thinking about this.
Okay.
So, well, are you referring to the, that's a really good explanation. Are you referring with the 200 parameters to performance, configuration, or both?
No, it's only currently, well, actually, good question. I was going to say currently we are focused on configuration, but I'll answer the performance part. On the configuration part, when I said two might become 40 or 200, what I was thinking about is the way Yang works is if you want NRPCI, well, I might as well make sure I code the full NR cell CU function, the DU function, the DUID. And by the time I do that, it'll say you guys want only one, but we have to put 50 just to make sure it's
right. Complete.
You know, obviously break up Yang model.
Right.
That's the first answer. But the second answer, Fred, thanks for mentioning that. I had almost forgotten. Yes, this RAN simulator RAN is also generating FM and PM based on WES messages.
Right.
It is WES messages. But the property values can be changed. If currently it might just say cell, if it needs to say, you know, cell ID, cell local ID, NCGI, it can be modified. So at this point, the simulated RAN simulation is all done by the Wipro team, and they'll work with whatever Yang model, except ONAP as a whole.
Well, here's the point. I see where you're going with that. Just really quick, it's a point we should probably need to nail down quickly. We need to define what is that base set of PM and CM that we need to do a first implementation, whether it's a proof of concept. So, I mean, literally there are thousands
upon
thousands of PM and CM. Let's define the kernel set that can go through the entire ONAP cycle for orchestration and service assurance. And this, it'll probably be like a couple of hundred for the VRAN or for 4G or 5G, right? But let's get that nailed down quickly. Sure. And then we have, all right, so who would be leading that work? I guess somebody from the vendor side with the RAN expertise, would that be YPRO or who would define that set?
So let me answer. I think Swami might be on the call, but let me answer on behalf of WIPRO. What we did in this use case, we actually did a fake PM KPI. We said handoff performance, good, bad, poor. And FM would be, I have a PCI collision alert, I have a PCI confusion alert. So we just used the format and said, this is what drives our use case, whether that exact counter exists or not. But
I would say let's make it real and start growing a set. Let's make a target of 100 in the short term, then we can expand it from there, because now it's going to be something that really attracts usage and interest.
I absolutely agree. So for example, if we need handoff KPI, we might as well use something that looks like real handoff KPI and adapt our code.
That's right. Okay, go ahead.
Let me say something, Frank, right? The PM information collection in the ONAP platform, this is a voice collector, right? In the 5G use case, they're called a bulky PM. Whenever we have any, all the PM counter information, they have a use case in place. But the one we have in here, voice collector, defined in the alignment between the ORAN ONAP, they have the three, any configuration change and the CM. I think in the CMPS, right? But this is some use case. For CMPS use case, they only care about the CM change, right?
I understand. Yeah. This is a sidebar of synergies that we can grow upon. Maybe we could take this offline, but if Ben, if you can capture this, I can send you some clarifying text to design that critical set. Sure. All right, let's move on.
Are you on mute, Shankar?
Oh, sorry, I was. Thanks, Ben. Yeah, I was saying, I hope that clarifies things and it's technically the actual functionality is straightforward. The tough part is to just do it in a way that you don't make some work and then throw it away. So the specific piece parts would be from the Yang model, let's figure out exactly what we need. For CM, and to Fred's point, we also have to look at the FM and PM part. And I think we are already concluding that that anything quick for release 7, we are going to rely on SDNR to do the update. So then it really comes down to there is currently an API for create, update and delete. What kind of changes would we have to make? And if we can keep that minimal, it'll help the other modules, but we don't want to artificially maintain something that is wrong. If it's just a matter of changing names of properties, that's easy. For example, it should not be get PCI and it should be get NR PCI from now on. Okay, we can make that change now. Cell ID should be something else, but something more structural. There's an impact on components that are used to this API. Okay.
Great, Shankar. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Can you also upload the slides to the if you upload it to do you have a wiki page yet for your main project? Do you have a wiki page yet for your main project?
Yes, sorry, I was went okay. on mute again. Yeah.
Yeah, so
I
if
can
you
put
maybe
it there up, and send.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah. Yeah, great.
Yeah, will do. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, guys, we are at time. Are there any final thoughts or questions from anybody? There's a couple action items I have when we'll reach out. Okay, if not, thank you, everybody. Have a good weekend and stay safe. And I'll upload the recording and send out by email. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.